G'day mate, chuck another shrimp on the barbie as we look at an Aussie legend on Historical Hystericals. Hi everybody and welcome to another episode of Historical Hystericals. I'm Chris Brennan.
And I'm Commander Mike. And this week we're looking at the life of Rolf Harris.
Oh, an Aussie legend.
Absolutely.
With the wobble board and the beard.
He's the one. Just before we do, we'll give you some contact information. You can email us at commandermike356@yahoo.com.au. Or you can check out our website at commandermike356.podomatic.com. Or you can check us out on our Facebook.
Yep, just jump on Facebook, have a search for Historical Hystericals, and we pop up whether you like it or not.
So this week we're talking about Rolf Harris, musician, singer, composer, painter, television host and personality, and one of Australia's favourite sons.
Yeah, it's funny, when most people think of Rolf Harris, they think of two little boys, the wobble board, all that sort of thing. I actually think of the paintings he did, the quick slapdash whack throws a painting up on the wall type stuff.
Yes, and he did these in live shows and television shows, and they were stunning, which led to one of his most famous catchphrases, "Can you tell what it is yet?"
Yeah.
Because he'd used to slap things up and you're going, "What the bloody hell is this?" And you say, "Can you tell what it is yet?" Nope, two more brush strokes and you go, "Oh my God, that's magnificent." And you never saw it coming. It's great.
He was a real life Mr. Squiggles. Rolf has also been a champion swimmer. He's had chart-topping hits. He's written best-selling books. And he was even voted the best entertainer ever. Get that, the best entertainer ever at the Glastonbury Music Festival. Who's ever heard of that?
Oh, it's huge in England. And we'll go on to that a bit later on because that story is fascinating. We can also tell you that his paintings have been exhibited in London's National Gallery and he's an honorary member of the British Royal Society for British Artists.
Yeah, there's got to be some pretty coveted members of that Royal Society, I tell you.
Absolutely, including Winston Churchill.
Oh, wow. He could paint?
As well. Oh, he's got good art. But back to Rolf, he presented a TV show called Rolf on Art, which made TV history when it gained the highest ever rating for an art program. Now, before his show went to air, the most people that would tune into an art program was like 1 million across England. Mm-hmm. He had 7 million watching first episode of Rolf on Art.
He's really, really well loved over in the UK, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Rolf also painted a portrait of Queen Elizabeth II to celebrate her 80th birthday. Now, this was the subject of a program called The Queen by Rolf, which was screened to another record-breaking viewing audience back in 2006.
Now, that's not that long ago. Now, bear in mind, Rolf is not a young man anymore.
No, 80 in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Now, get over this. What we've just said is just his introduction. We haven't even touched on the bones of it yet. This is going to be a big one, folks.
That's what Mrs. Rolf said.
Okay, let's start his early life.
Going back to the beginnings.
Yes. Now, he was named after Rolf Boldrewood. He is an Australian writer that his mother admired. And as I said, he is 80 years old. He is born on the 30th of March, 1930, in Bassedean, which is a suburb of Perth in Western Australia.
Oh, so he was born 300330.
Yeah.
Wow.
So his parents, Cromwell, or known as Crom, and Agnes Harris, they were both immigrants from South Wales to Australia.
Crommy and Aggie.
Yeah, which always worried me because he always kept referring to England as the old country or the mother country. And I'm thinking, I don't know anyone who calls it that, but being the son of Welsh immigrants, that makes sense.
It does. Now, as an adolescent and a young adult, Rolf was a champion swimmer, being the Australian junior 110 yard backstroke champion in 1946 and the West Australian state champion over a variety of distances and strokes during the period of 1948 to 1952. So here's Rolf with the beard splashing around in the pool.
Now, that age, I don't think he quite had the beard at that age.
I wonder if he had the wobble board. That would help him go in the pool, wouldn't it?
No, that came later.
We'll tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Now, let's see. Rolf attended Perth's Modern School in Subiaco in Western Australia. And then attended... Sorry?
Subi.
Yeah.
And Subi or not Subi?
Oh. And then he attended the University of Western Australia. That's where he met his wife, who is a Welsh sculptress and jeweller, Alwyn Hughes. Now, they were both art students at the time, and they married on the 1st of March 1958. Now, they've got one daughter, Bindi Harris, who studied at Bristol Polytechnic and is now a painter in her own right.
Oh, so it continues on in the family.
Absolutely. So, see, Rolf moved to England as an art student, studied at the City and Guilds Art School in Kensington, South London. At the age of 22, he got into television with the BBC in 1953. He did regular 10-minute cartoon drawing session with a puppet called Fuzz, made and operated on the show by well-known magician Robert Harbin. Rolf also illustrated Robert Harbin's book Paper Magic. And believe it or not, I have a copy of that.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Rolf was also making money as a portrait painter. So he'd be commissioned by people to do portraits. And he wanted to do a portrait of his friend Robert Harbin, who was working with on a TV show. So, as he describes it, he got this piece of plyboard and had some splashes of colour on it. He thought, oh, that looks good. I'll just do a quick wash over with another colour so these white splotches will come out very mysteriously and it'll look all great as a background for this portrait. Right. So with lots of turpentine and paint, he covered the thing. It wasn't drying. So he set the board up over two chairs over a heater. And he says, only after a couple of seconds, came back and touched it, and it was so hot it brought a blister up onto his finger. And he says, oh, that's hot. Ouch. Picked up the board by the edges and started shaking it to try and cool it off. And this noise came out. Whoop, 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 whoop. He says, what? Oh, that's interesting. Whoop, whoop. So he started emphasizing every second. Whoop, 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 whoop. And someone yelled down from upstairs, hey, I think the hot water service is on the blink. It's making an awful noise. And the wobble board was born.
Can you just give us that noise again, Mike?
No.
It's amazing how the background story of some of these things comes up, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I also love the fact that some guy in America played this weird song, Tie Me Kangaroo Downboard, by a sport. And they played it on the radio, and they had some trucker ring up and said, guy, I thought I had a flat tire with that what noise going on in the background.
Oh, dear.
So back
the
to
birth Rolf of the wobble board.
Oh, yeah. So back to Rolf in his early days on television.
Yes.
He had a few acting roles in British TV programs as well. He was Harry in The Vice, and he played the role of Private Proudfoot in the 1955 film You Lucky People. That also starred Tommy Trinder.
Have a look on YouTube for that one.
Oh, yeah. Now, the great thing I'm really trying to get my hands on, he appeared in two episodes of Hancock's Half Hour back in 1959. Now, that's something I would like to see.
There was a great line of comedians on Hancock's Half Hour, so definitely a good one to check out.
So let's see.
Now, when commercial television started in 1956, Rolf was the only entertainer to work on both the BBC and ITV, performing on the BBC with his creation Willoughby, and especially made board on which he drew Willoughby. Don't know about that. What's the story behind that, Mike?
Well, it was special effects. Basically, he had a big whiteboard, and he'd draw Willoughby. And the character would then come to life and talk to him through animation. So Rolf would draw all the cartoons and of Willoughby's antics. And at the end of the show, Willoughby would be erased. Then redrawn for the next show. So it was a nice little special effect and a kid's show for Willoughby the cartoon character.
And also saved him a fortune on paying Willoughby any sort of salary or having a dressing room for him. Or
there's another program called Associated Red Fusion. He invented a character called Oliver Polyp, the octopus. Now, he drew this on the back of his hand, and his fingers became the legs of the octopus. This was animated as well, and using Oliver's adventures with cartoons on huge sheets of card.
Interesting.
Hmm. So by this time, he was drifting away from school. He was somewhat disillusioned as a student, and luckily had met his longtime hero, an Australian impressionist called Howard Veal. who took Harris under his wing and became a mentor, teaching him the rudiments of Impressionism and showing him how he could adopt it with his portrait painting. Now, this was the start of the really big paintings of walls and big, big canvases.
The massive ones that I remember him doing,
yeah. Yeah. Now, at the same time, Rolf was earning a bit of money playing the piano and accordion every Thursday night at a club called the Down Under. Now, this was a haunt for homesick Australians and New Zealanders in London. So over the next few years, he developed and honed his entertainment skills, eventually writing the song which would later become his theme song, Tommy Kangaroo Downsport. Now, once again, he did this for years, developing stage character, learning stagecraft, learning what he's doing. So, you know, all these overnight sensations aren't so overnight.
Yeah, I mean, all he had to do was go on England Idol and perform and get people to vote for him, and bang, he'd be an instant success.
Now, while he was also appearing at the Down Under Club, he also went to a place called Clement Freud's The Royal Court Theatre Club in Sloane Square. And this is where he played the piano and entertained debutantes and their escorts. Now, he's spoken about the difference between these two clubs and how his performance at the Royal Court Theatre Club was very dignified and formal and refined. Now, while he was performing at the Down Under Club, it was more like leading a party. And that's where he found one of his great catchphrases, "All together now." Because he'd be singing, "Hey, okay, all together now, bang, bang, bang," and away we go.
As you would if you were sitting in a pub with Rolf.
Yes, as I have. That's another story.
Now, Rolf was headhunted and returned to Perth for television and was introduced to Perth TV in the 1960s. There he produced and starred in 5 half-hour children's shows a week, as well as starring in his own weekly evening variety show. So, variety TV in Perth, Rolf Harris, every night.
Yeah. Half-hour every weekday for kids' shows at about 5 o'clock, and then once a week, his own weekly variety show. He was a very busy man during 1960 in Perth. During this time, he recorded the Time of Kangaroo Downsport. Now, the song was recorded in the studios at TVW7 on a single microphone placed above him in the TV studio. Now, the song was sent off to the record company EMI in Sydney, and it was released as a record. Now, Rolf offered his 4 unknown backing musicians 10% of the royalties of the song, but they decided they'd take the recording fee of £7 each because they thought the song would be a flop.
Bow-bow.
Now, the novelty song was originally titled Kangalypso and featured the distinctive sound of the wobble board, which he played. Wop, 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 wop. You wanted to hear it again?
Thank you.
Now, it was a bit controversial at the time back in 1960.
Really?
Yeah, some listeners took offence because the lyrics of the 4th verse referred to the Aboriginals being somewhat of a servant. Mm-hmm. And whimsically approving of this sort of, you know. And remember, the thing is, let me abos go loose, Lou, let me abos go loose. So,
oh, that one, yep, gotcha.
Yeah, and the abo was starting to become a term of abuse at the time. And the rest of the song refers to Australian animals. So the offending verse did not appear in any other version of the song. He has never re-recorded that verse.
That's why I was singing that the other day when we were talking about doing Rolf Harris as a profile, and I was wandering around the house singing Time You Can, and that's the one line that I didn't sing, because until you mentioned it, it wasn't even in my mind, you know.
And of course, it depends on what version you grew up with. Was it the original 1960 version that you listened to, or was it another release of that song later on without the verse?
Yeah, well, unlike you, Mike, I wasn't around for the original release.
Yes, I was, I know. Now, something like 4 decades after the song was released, Rolf, in an interview, was saying how much he regretted that original lyric. Now, he also performed the song as recently as 2000 with Australian supergroup The Wiggles.
Oh, he's in such good company, isn't he?
Now, at the end of 1960, after he finished up with the Perth TV station, he toured Australia for Dulux Paints. Now, he'd sing his hit song and do huge paintings on stage with Dulux emulsion paints. Now, while painting on stage, this is where we'd get that catchphrase, "Can you tell what it is yet?"
There would have been something to see, that's for sure.
When he gets up there with an enormous canvas, I mean, I've seen Rolf so many times. I'm a big fan. I've seen him perform live about 16 times, I'd say. And when that big canvas gets wheeled out, you think this is going to be something spectacular. And it always is, always was. It was great.
Yeah. An interesting little side note. Now, Rolf and his wife, Alwyn, is that Alwyn or Alwyn?
Alwyn.
Alwyn. They went to Canada by mistake.
Yeah, so it was a booking.
How do you go to Canada by mistake?
It was a booking mistake. It was the top of the town, and the agent who booked it thought it was not the top of the town, the cave. He thought it was the venue of the same name in London. It was only when they signed the contracts, they said, oh, Vancouver. Oh, the money's good. Okay, well, it's only supposed to be for a few weeks.
Oh, dear. But after working two shows a night at the Arctic Club, he was a huge success, and he was held over for 31 weeks until the club burnt down. Is that one way of saying you're no longer needed? You'll burn the place down?
Well, no, they really do assure us it was an accident, but he was immediately transferred over to the Cave Theatre restaurant, where it was much bigger, and he had marvellous acclaim, critical acclaim. The Canadians embraced him very much.
Not bad for an accident, huh?
Now, let's see. Somewhere back in the 60s, I remember Rolf did a series on Australian ABC called Rolf's Walkabout. Now, this is where Rolf and his family, joined by naturalist Harry Butler, toured the Australian outback. Now, it was during this time the two collaborated in an older Aboriginal story and came up with a song, Sunarise.
Oh, I love that song.
It's brilliant. But I remember the original series, Rolf and his family, you know, Bindi was very young at the time, and they'd go around Northern Territory, Darwin, Ayers Rock, all around there, on the outback, with Harry Butler, talking about the Aboriginal ways. Now, I remember, I think it was late 70s, early 80s, Rolf went back to the same places for another special, and you'd see black and white footage of the original series. And he's back in the same places, looking at the same places. And, of course, this is like after Cyclone Tracy had gone through Darwin. So Darwin had practically been rebuilt. The rivers had redirected around where their campsites. It was a fascinating special. And do you think I can find it anywhere on ABC? I would love to see that re-released.
If you contact the Australian Film and Sound Archive in Canberra, I'd say they would have copies of it up there.
That's my next project next week.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got Sunrise going over in my head now, so yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll be there for the rest
sunrise,
of your...
She come with the morning, sunrise, she come in the dawning, spreading all her light all around. I can get my didgeridoo and back it up if you like.
Let's not.
It's kind of hard to sing and play at the same time, but anyway.
This brings us to 1962. So Rolf had done his tour and was heading back to England. This is where he was introduced to a guy called George Martin. Now, he recorded all of Rolf's songs, including Sunrise, and this song went to number 2 in the UK charts. The only reason it didn't get to number 1 was because of this guy called Elvis Presley.
Oh, he was sort of hanging around at that stage, wasn't he?
Yeah. Now, then Rolf met and worked with the Beatles when they started recording with George Martin, and he even compared their Christmas show in Finsbury Park Empire in 1963.
He's rubbed some shoulders with some pretty famous people, hasn't he?
Oh, you're not wrong. Now, here's a YouTube alert. Look up Rolf and the Beatles singing a special version of Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport.
Ah.
It's there. It's fantastic. And Rolf had written new words to fit in with the guys. So it'd be something like, cut your hair once a year, boys, cut your hair once a year. If it covers your ears, you can't hear, boys, so cut your hair once a year. Okay, it was 1962. Long hair was still very, unacceptable. But you can come up with things, George's guitar's on the blink, I think. George's guitar's on the blink. It shouldn't go plinkety-plink. No, George's guitar's on the blink. Definitely. Grab this on YouTube.
And you complained about my singing.
Yeah, well, I lose control occasionally.
Yes, you do. Now, Rolf and his wife lived permanently in the UK. They've been there since 1962, but he has regularly returned to Vancouver to entertain. He's still a big thing over in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
And he also regularly returns to Perth over the years for family visits and to the rest of Australia, where, of course, we enjoy his live shows. And he's popped up on every TV show possible, I think. I've seen him on Ray Martin and the news and current affairs.
And Midday with Kerry Ann and everything else, and Rove and...
Oh, Mike Walsh. He was on Mike Walsh a couple of times too, I think.
It is really scary. Look up his Internet Movie Database page of all his TV appearances, and the list goes on and on and on. It's amazing.
Yeah, he spends about 4 months every year touring in Australia with his band.
Well, he used to. Not so much now. It's getting on a bit.
Well, he's 80 now, so, you know, he deserves a bit of a rest, you know.
I think one of the...
Of course, we'd welcome him back if he wanted to come back, you know.
Oh, I'd be there. I think one of the biggest things he ever did, in 1973, he was the first person to have a concert in the concert hall at the newly completed Sydney Opera House.
Ah, now there's a claim to fame for him.
Yeah, the first person to do a concert at the Opera House. Now... Since the late 1960s, Rolf has been performing top-rated variety television shows on BBC in London, shows which are also shown in Australia and New Zealand. This was creating great support for his many tours in Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, actually.
Oh, he's done South Africa as well.
Yeah. Now, as well as his trademark, his customary sound effects. I don't really want to call it beatboxing because it isn't this rap music stuff, but it's effing and
I know. It's Rolf's own personal blend, if you want.
Yeah, the effing and knifing. That came from America. It's a Tennessee thing that country and western singers would do.
Yeah. Also, Big Dog is a great example of him doing that.
Yeah, he's got so many wonderful novelty songs.
Big dog standing staring at me.
Now, this is the interesting thing. How many years has it been since you heard that?
Oh, God, I wouldn't have a clue. Donkey's
Age. But you can burst into song.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, once these things get in, it never gets out.
Yeah, and the tunes are also catchy. You hear the songs once or twice, and they're there. They're stuck, you know. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? I've Lost My Mummy.
Oh, God, yes.
If you remember that?
I remember. Yeah. I was at a show and someone requested it, and the look in his face was, oh, God, that would kill me. No, I can't do that anymore.
Because he does let loose with some pretty loud screams and wails all through that song. For anyone that hasn't heard it, basically it's a song about a little boy who's lost in a supermarket and can't find his mummy, and he's bawling his eyes out because he can't find his mum, and then his mum turns up and really gives him a reason to cry. Yeah.
I really wish we could get around some of the copyright stuff so I could play examples. Yeah. It's great.
Very, very politically incorrect these days, that song would be, because you know, mummies don't deal out left-handers to the backside anymore.
Well, let's see. Not only does he do the unusual sound effects, like dripping water, which I learned from him, he also plays different instruments. Didgeridoo, for example. He played the didgeridoo, the jew's harp.
That's a little sort of like springy thing that goes in the mouth.
That's the one.
The springy thing goes in your mouth. Yeah,
that's the one. He also played the stylophone. Now, I had one of these. It's a little electronic keyboard that you touch a little stylus on, like what's those handheld computers you got now?
Like a touchscreen type thing.
Yeah, just a touchscreen, but you hit the stylus on it and on the keyboard and it'd make music. It was weird. I just wish I had musical talent.
And he even released the Rolf Harris stylophone. You could buy the Rolf Harris. It had a little picture of Rolf in the corner on the keyboard and everything.
Yep, and a little record that you could put on your record player to describe how to play it and give you instructions.
Now, for those that don't know, record players are those old machines that you put a big black disc on and turn it around.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm feeling old now.
Now, Rolf has even played the didgeridoo on two albums by the British pop singer Kate Bush.
Hmm.
In 1982, The Dreaming, and in 2005's Ariel. Now, he went on to create his most famous role in the 1960s, Jake the Peg. But he got his biggest hit in 1969 with the American Civil War song, Two Little Boys. And that was a song that was written in 1902.
Wow, he is old.
No, no, he didn't write it himself. It was written in 1902 and he did it. But the interesting thing was he just recently discovered the poignancy of the song because the story bears such a great resemblance to the World War I experiences of his father and his father's brother, Carl. Now, Carl died at the age of 19 after being wounded in the Battle of France just 2 weeks before Armistice in November 1918.
Wow. Two Little Boys is one of those songs that always sort of sends a bit of a tingle through the body when you listen to it. It's...
Well, Rolf was saying that it was Ted Egan up in Northern Territory who they were spending time with. And Ted said, I've got this great song for your TV show. And he picks up a little cardboard box and starts drumming out the beat with his fingers and starts singing. And Rolf says, I'm sitting there smiling, thinking, oh, my God, what the hell do I tell him? This is awful. And Ted Egan's singing, Two Little Boys Had Two Little Toys. And he's like, oh, my God. And he said, right up to the time he got up to the part, did you think I would leave you dying? And Rolf said, all the hair on my arms stood up and all the hair on the back of my neck stood on end.
Mm.
And I thought, ooh. And all of a sudden, ears sold on the song. And it became a number one hit.
It just plucks the right strings at the right time.
Oh.
Oh, another song just popped into my head.
Oh, no.
Court of King Caractacus.
Of course, yes.
I used to be able to sing that song so quickly.
Yes, and off the neighbours, something awful. There's a bit of an edit. Okay, yes, and upset the neighbours, something awful.
Oh,
I think I'll do an edit there and just go, yes, and that would upset the neighbours as well.
Yes. Excuse me.
Now, in 2000, Rolf actually released a new song, a dance track called Fine Day. Now, this is Rolf's version of rap. But it had rhythm, it had music, it had, you know, substance as opposed to rap music. This entered the top 30 in the UK charts at the time and is a great song. Please look this one up, YouTube, Fine Day by Rolf Harris. Now, there was actually a Killy-themed version recorded of this song. This was to coincide with a football club Kilmarnock appearance in the Scottish League Cup final. Now, after the song was adopted by the fans, one of the lyrics referred to the hypothetical situation of Kilmarnock could be 5-0 down, which, ironically, was very similar to the final score of 5-1.
Aha. Rolf the soothsayer.
Okay, now let's have a look. In December 2002, the London's National Gallery exhibited a collection of Rolf's art. Now, he was also commissioned to paint a portrait of Queen Elizabeth II for her 80th birthday, which was unveiled by Rolf on the 19th of December 2005 at Buckingham Palace. Now, in his words, it's an impressionistic rather than photographic depiction of the Queen.
Don't tell me. You painted her on the loo, right?
No. Now, some commentators found it to be offensive and unbecoming to the Queen. But the Queen,
she was on the loo.
No, she wasn't. But the Queen herself expressed her approval of the painting after the final sitting, particularly the way
see,
that...
See, I thought it was sitting, loo. See, I'm there.
I am going to hit you so hard. Now, the Queen actually expressed her approval, saying she liked the way he painted her smile. Now, the story of the painting featured on a special edition of a series called Rolf on Art. Now, the special was called The Queen by Rolf and was broadcast on BBC One and the ABC in Australia here. It was a great show.
And, of course, it was originally titled Rolf on Art and the Queen on the Toilet. Well, she was on the throne.
Okay. Now, painting the Queen was actually a family tradition for Rolf. You see, Rolf's grandfather painted a portrait of the Queen's grandfather, King George V. That was a photo in which King George V was inspecting the troops. And in fact, someone at Buckingham Palace took Rolf into one of the back rooms to show him that portrait during the show, The Queen by Rolf.
Interesting.
Mm. So Rolf's portrait of the Queen was voted by readers of the Radio Times the third favourite portrait of Her Majesty. The royal portrait was exhibited at Buckingham Palace and in Edinburgh and was exhibited on tour at public galleries throughout the United Kingdom.
The man does good artwork.
Mm.
Now, we've been talking about Rolf's art, his paintings, his drawings, the Queen on the Toilet, everything like that. While we've been doing that, it's been going through my mind about the songs that he's done, the iconic songs. Now, we've got Two Little Boys and the Court of King Caractacus and everything. I can't go past Stairway to Heaven.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew Denton.
Yeah. Yes. Now, that was during the 1980s when he was touring Australia, right?
Yep, he was doing a tour of Australia, and the producers, or Andrew Denton, from the Money and the Gun TV show on the ABC, approached him and asked him to do a personalised version of the old Led Zeppelin song, Stairway to Heaven. Rolf was like, no, how about if I go on and play, you know, Tommy Kangaroo Dance World? No, everybody does a version of Stairway to Heaven in their own style at the end of the show, and we just want you to do this. So Rolf and his musical director at the time, Clive Lendich, said, yeah, okay, got the sheet music, rearranged it in the style of, you know, Time of Kangaroo Down Sport. Rolf had never heard Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. He just saw the sheet music, did it, and thought, oh yeah, fine. Several years later, it was released in the United Kingdom and went to number 4 on the charts. Now, you wouldn't believe the uproar this caused among Led Zeppelin fans. He even got
everybody else loved it, but
He even got death threats from them. How dare you do this to the classic? And it's like, never even heard the song. What's the matter with you? Now, following this uproar, it made headlines around the world. I must say, Andrew Denton and the Gun people then released this, I think it was about 24 versions of Stairway to Heaven on one CD. Look around, find it, get it. It is brilliant.
I remember that. That was really good.
It was great. Now, around this time of the uproar, the organisers of the Glastonbury Music Festival said, oh, wouldn't it be a bit of a joke to get Rolf in to sing? So in 1994, they extended an invitation for Rolf to come and perform at Glastonbury Music Festival. He was a hit. Now, this is 1994. You've got to remember, he's been on TV since the 1960s doing kids shows. So all the people that are interested in music at the Glastonbury Music Festival grew up with Rolf. He came on stage and the place went spare. It was a hell of an appearance.
I can just imagine it, I tell you.
Now, he's since appeared 4 more times at the Glastonbury Music Festivals, and as recently as 2009. And he was recently voted the most popular entertainer to have ever appeared at Glastonbury. So much for the organiser's little joke.
Yeah, sort of backfired a bit.
In the most wonderful way.
One of the great things about Rolf is if you see him talking or you see an interview with him or something like that, he's so approachable and he's just a regular guy. And he's the sort of person you feel like you could walk into a bar, sit down and start talking to straight away. And I think that's part of his main appeal to so many people is that he just feels like he's one of your mates already, you know.
I think that was summarised earlier on. I was talking about the ABC series Walkabout. Rolf's Walkabout. In the series when he went back to the same places, he was filming. He was driving a car through Darwin, and the cameraman was in the passenger seat filming him. So he's talking to the cameraman. He pulls up at a red light, talking to the cameraman. You can see a car pull up next to him. A guy in the passenger seat in the car next to him looks out the window and says, oh, g'day, Rolf. How you going, mate? And I think that sums it up. He's everybody's mate. He is so approachable. He is so friendly. Even if you've never met him, you want to go up and shake his hand.
Yeah, that's the impression you get just from watching him, yeah. Now, of course, yeah, Waltzing Matilda.
Has been sung so many times in so many versions.
It has.
One that comes to mind is the 1982 Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. That was the one with Matilda, the giant winking kangaroo that was the mascot. Now, when Matilda arrived in the stadium, an enormous kangaroo, she winked at the crowd as she went through the stadium. Her pouch opened up and several young kids came out, about 5 to 7 years old. They were dressed as Joey kangaroos. They raced out, ran up onto trampolines that had been set up and did their routine. Now, Rolf was standing behind Matilda in a small truck with his wobble board and sang a special version of Time a Kangaroo and Time a Kangaroo Down Sport, which included specially written lyrics again. Let me welcome you to the games, friends. Let me welcome you to the games. Look, I don't know all your names, friends, but let me welcome you to the games. It's been redone so many times. Then he sang Waltzing Matilda. It was a great opening to the Commonwealth Games.
It was. Now, Rolf's redone a lot of songs, and I mean, we know he's done Tommy Kangaroo Down Spot so many times, but he also did a version of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Now, that was great. YouTube!
Yeah, have a good look at that one. And we've got to blame Andrew Denton for one more thing, too.
Yes. You're now, talking
this,
about...
This is just wrong. Sorry.
It's wrong, but so right. The Divinyls song, I Touch Myself. Rolf did a version of that on Andrew Denton's Musical Challenge. Once again, this was released on a CD. Grab it. It is hysterical. That CD is hysterical because he got so many people doing other people's songs. Like we've got the Russian male voice choir doing I Come From a Land Down Under.
Ralph Harris doing I Touch Myself. It's not right. I'm sorry. Have a look for it on YouTube.
Oh, there's and another song that Rolf has done.
What's that?
Six White Boomers.
Oh, yeah.
An attempt at an Australian Christmas song. Now, this was a song about a Joey kangaroo trying to find his mother during Christmas time. Now, Santa Claus came along with six large male kangaroos called boomers instead of reindeer. This was because the reindeer couldn't stand the terrible heat. Now, he pulled up his sleigh to help little Joey find his mummy. It's a beautiful little song. And I wish to hell it got more coverage at Christmas time.
Well, the interesting thing is the reindeer can't stand the heat, but there's Santa in his big red woolen suit with his massive beard and his hat on his head.
Well, in one phrase in the song, Santa slips his fur-lined boots off to cool his, don't think it's stinking feet, but to cool his feet, Joey hops into one feeling quite okay. It's a beautiful little song. If you haven't heard it, look it up, and if you can get it and play it more at Christmas time, we'd all love it.
Another one to have a hunt for, too, is 2008, when Rolf re-recorded the 1969 hit Two Little Boys with the backing from the...
Wales Male Voice Choir.
We'll call it the North Wales Male Voice Choir, yeah.
Yeah, because where they come from, no one can pronounce.
Exactly. Why does Wales have such great names? I don't know. Now, that was to mark the 90th anniversary of the end of World War I. But have a look for it, because Rolf, with all that fantastic backing, it will really move you.
Yes. Now, Rolf was inspired to make the recording after participating in a TV show called My Family at War. Now, this was a series of programs on the BBC. They go into people's histories and find out how their family coped in wartime. Now, Rolf discovered that the experiences of his father and his uncle during the World War mirrored the lyrics of... the song Two Little Boys.
Making it even more poignant.
Mm. Now, if you're a fan of UK bands or rock groups, look up a band called Pulp in the United Kingdom, because at the end of the song you'll hear Rolf saying, "You've just heard one of the most remarkable applications in modern electronics." Now, this was from the Stylophone record I was talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's from the Stylophone instruction disc.
Yeah, so they've grabbed that section and put it on their hit Countdown.
Thieves, look plagiarists!
So look up Pulp and try and find the hit Countdown, and you'll find that grab of Rolf. Probably all you want to listen to on that track, but there you go.
Yeah, give it a try. Now, Rolf's done the artwork, he's done the songs, he's done the live appearances, he's done nightclubs, he's done television. Is there anything Rolf hasn't done?
I don't think so. I think he's covered a lot, but boy, yeah. Has he done television. I don't think we've really touched on much of his television career.
Oh, God, there's just so much TV that he's done. There was Rolf Harris's Cartoon Time.
Yes.
On BBC One in the 1980s. Rolf's Cartoon Club on ITV, it was 89 to 93.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the kids' TV show where he gave out tips to the children on how to draw and create easily animated figures, you know, flick books and things like that.
Yeah, it was brilliant. He had variety shows in Canada and England and Australia back in the Perth days. Let's see, in 1994 to 2004, he was the host of a reality program called Animal Hospital.
I've actually seen a few episodes of Animal Hospital. Really, really good.
Yes. Rolf actually adopted a greyhound that had been abandoned at the vets, and he named him Rocky. But as a great show, had other series generated here in Australia, but didn't have the popularity that Rolf had.
Yeah, no, it was following the real-life activity of a British veterinary practice and seeing the day-to-day ins and outs of the vets. But being hosted by Rolf, it just had a more of a personal feel to it. It was really, really well worth watching.
Yeah, and it came up with another one of his catchphrases, "Oh, poor little blighter." This little puppy's really sick.
Yeah.
Now, more recently, Rolf on Art was a major TV series. This highlighted the work of some of his favourite artists, Van Gogh, Duguay, Monet, and Rembrandt and such. Yeah. Rolf on Art made television history. It gave the highest television ratings ever for an arts programme.
Yeah, when we talk about all the things Rolf hasn't done, one thing he has done is he's designed an Australian coin.
Yes.
Now, the Royal Australian Mint commissioned Rolf to design the new commemorative $1 silver kangaroo coin in 2006. So it sold out immediately when it came out. So if you're a coin collector and you're looking for one, too bad. But designed by Rolf Harris.
Wonderful.
Did the kangaroo have a wobble board? That's what we need to know.
Now, Rolf has presented three series for the BBC art program, Star Portraits with Rolf Harris. This was great. Rolf would select three different artists who use three different styles, bring them together, put the celebrity in to sit for them, and then would see how the artists would draw a portrait of this celebrity. And then at the end of the show, the celebrity would choose which portrait they would like to keep, where the other two would all go into a big travelling display around England after the series had finished. It was a brilliant series.
Okay, so we've covered most of Rolf's life. We haven't covered the most important aspect of Rolf Harris's career yet, Mike.
What would that be?
The day he met you.
Well, I'm very happy.
Did you meet him, one or the other?
I met him and I was thrilled. Actually, I've met him twice and I'm very, very happy. But I've got a great story about the time I met him. Sitting at home, I heard a rumour that he was up in Dandenong, a suburb of Melbourne here, filming a commercial for a paint store. So I thought, you beauty, jumped straight in the car, shot out there. Sure enough, there he is filming a commercial in this paint store. So I'm standing back waiting. During a break in filming, he's sitting there signing autographs for people. And I come up and he's sort of pen in hand looking at me. He says, yes, what would you like me to sign? I said, no. I've got a signature, you know, I've got an autograph, that's great. I just want to know, are you performing anywhere? And he said, well, yeah, tonight I'm at the Hallam Hotel. I said, great, I'll be there. He says, oh, that was easy. Yeah. So that night I went off to the Hallam Hotel. Now, it was short notice, so I couldn't find anyone to go with, so I was travelling alone. Got to the front desk, and they said, yes. I said, just like one seat, please. And they look at me like I've got leprosy, like, one?
Yes. It's a bit like when you go into the cinemas and you go just one ticket and they go, huh?
Yes. So they gave me this seat right next to the door. Now, it's the middle of August, so every time someone went in or out, this Arctic blast would come through and freeze me stupid. It was awful. But I was watching a Rolf Harris show, so I didn't care. Anyway, during interval, halfway through the show, I went off to the loo. As I was coming out, bump into Rolf going in. And he sees me.
Well, I suppose even Rolf's got to take a pee. So.
Oh, yeah. But he sees me and recognises me from the afternoon and says, oh, you made it. Great to see you. I said, thanks very much. He shook my hand and in he goes.
Oh, hang on. Did you wash your hands?
I had.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes. Now, someone from management at the Hallam Hotel must have seen this because all of a sudden I'm moved from this seat up the back near the door all right up the front to, you know, almost, you know, onto the stage and given a complimentary drink. So I thought better about informing them that I really didn't know Rolf at all.
Management of the Hallam Hotel are listening at the moment, Mike, and they want you to pay for the drink.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it was a great night. As I say, I've seen him perform about 16 times. He is a great entertainer. Singing, jokes, carrying on, it's brilliant.
And the wobble board.
Now, the thing, I just want to go back on this. I went to see one of his shows. It was at the Arts Centre in the Melbourne. Now, how many times are you at a show, someone arrives late? What does the performer do? berates them, knocks them, gives them hell for coming in late. No, not Rolf. He's working away and sees his woman being shown to her seat. He turns around, oh, thank God you've made it. We've been worried sick. Are you okay? And why were you so late? She said, job interview. She says, what, really? How'd you go? She says, I got it. He leads the audience in a round of applause to congratulate her on getting a job. He is such a nice man.
Yes. But he's a nice man with honours.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Rolf has been made a member of the British Empire, so he got an MBE in 1968. He was made an officer of the British Empire, which is the OBE, in 1977, and he was made commander of the Order of the British Empire, which is a CBE, in 2006. So the guy's got some gongs to his name.
Absolutely, and Australia's not behind. In 1989, he was appointed a member of the Order of Australia, an AM award.
An AM, which is an early morning award. But
yes, but his biggest honour and the biggest thing, he was made King.
King of Australia?
No, King of Moomba.
Oh, that's even better.
That was in 1975. He was the King of Moomba.
For anyone that doesn't know, Moomba is a parade that happens in Australia, in Melbourne, celebrates... what's it celebrating again?
Originally, the phrase was described as, let's get together and have fun.
That's it.
But it was a great thing, and many, many great people have been King of Moomba, and Rolf was too.
Graham Kennedy, Bert Newton, Molly Meldrum, Molly was more Queen of Moomba than King, but...
Moving on.
Yes.
In 2007, Rolf was awarded an honorary doctorate by the University of East London, and in 2008, he was inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame for his music to Australia. This was a presentation I would have paid money to see, because during the presentation, he performed Tommy Kangaroo Downsport and Jake the Peg, but it was his backing band I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah.
Playing support to Rolf Harris was The Seekers.
Okay.
Athelguy, Bruce Woodley, and as Rolf's backing. Oh, I would have paid money to see that, and I cannot find any film of that anywhere, film or audio anywhere.
I can just imagine, though, the ARIA Music Awards. I mean, you're talking about, the latest and greatest in Australian music and all the hip bands and the happening dudes and all that sort of stuff, and there's Rolf on the stage with the Seekers performing Timey Kangaroo Downsport.
Well, why not? He has released 35 albums and 48 singles. His wobble board is on display at the National Museum of Australia.
Not bad for a guy who was trying to dry a bit of paint.
Now, if anyone deserves to be honoured by the ARIA Hall of Fame, I can't think of a better one.
And we'll honour Rolf Harris, that's his brother. We'll honour Rolf by reminding everybody that the 30th of March 2010 is his 80th birthday.
And he'll be celebrating it, and so will we.
Happy birthday, Rolf.
And thank you. I have thoroughly enjoyed this episode of Historical Hystericals, because for most of my life I've enjoyed the performances of Rolf Harris.
It's good to look back at an Aussie icon and look at a true Australian legend, a living Australian legend, I might have you.
Yes, and unlike a lot of people who have gone over and become expatriates and lived in England for any length of time, he has still retained his Australianness.
That's true. Yeah, you listen to Rolf talk, and I mean, you get expat Aussies that go over to America and to England, and they all lose that Aussie groundedness that makes them Australian. You know, the
sense of fun and the
And he's my mate sort of thing. But Rolf's never lost that. He's always been my mate.
That's been great.
My mate, Rolf Harris. Now, coming up in future episodes of Historical Hystericals, we're going to be doing something really interesting. Live interviews with real people.
It'll be good. We're looking forward to this. And we'll give you
special announcements coming up, so keep your ears open for those.
We'll tell you when we can. But in the meantime, we've got to go. If you got any suggestions or comments about the shows, please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, yes, please review us on iTunes.
Yes, please. If you're obviously, if you're listening to us, you've downloaded us at somehow, somewhere. If you've done it through iTunes, then make sure you whack in a review for us. Let us know what you think of the show. Any suggestions for upcoming comedians that you'd like us to have a look at, either live or dead? We're not fussy, though. We'd rather talk to the live ones than the dead ones. Send us through an email. The address, Mike.
The email, he said, reaching across is commandermike356@yahoo.com.au.
Send us through. Or if you're on Facebook, check us out on Facebook. Just do a search on Facebook for Historical Hystericals, and there we are. You can send a message. You don't have to join the group, but, you know, we'd like it if you did.
Say hi. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Okay. Time to go. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Have fun.